Hello, everybody. This is Dane Gentry with the Standing Back Up podcast. Today, I'm here with my special guest, Mr. Trinity Nixon, the Trinity Transformation. One thing that stuck out for me, man, is that you're from the big town of Miami, Oklahoma.
Yep, that's where I was born.
I never knew there was a Miami, Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's about an hour outside of Tulsa, which most people know where Tulsa's at, right?
Yeah. All right, man. Tell us how you grew up, man. What, how'd your story begin? Yeah, how'd it end?
Grew up in a rural town, not a lot of opportunity around, you know, as far as, employment. Really the only way out of the small towns, man, is education, or at least that's what, you know, is portrayed to us when we're younger. And, mom and dad got, divorced at an early age. And school, just I got thrown in and out of different schools very young. And, you know, looking back at it now, I had dyslexic at a young age. I didn't know that was, you know, that was the case when I was young. So I struggled in school, and which, you know, kind of made me depressed as a kid. I think a lot of us, if we're doing bad in school at a young age, you know, we feel depressed. And I was exposed to pornography when I was real young, by the age of 5. Wow. In some different homes. So, you know, I think for a coping mechanism for me when I was young, you know, I turned to food, and then I started looking at these magazines, right, that I think we all experienced, or a lot of us did, at least through a family member or cousin or uncle or a friend's dad or somebody. Right. Yeah. And, so I started, you know, looking at these magazines, not really knowing what they were by the age of 5 years old. Right. And, it was a coping mechanism dealing with the dyslexia and not being able to, you know, do good in school. So that kind of just, you know, set me down this path of not really being able to deal with stress in life, right? And I already had a couple bad habits that I turned to every time I got overwhelmed, right? And you know, fast forward, and you know, the junior high and high school, by this time, you know, I already knew that there was no way that I was going to graduate high school. So I've been cheating on every freaking exam since I was a kid, just to be able to pass. Because, you know, I'm 47, and back then, I mean, dyslexia wasn't a thing, you know, like we hear about ADHD and all this other stuff now, but, you know, you're probably close to my age, you know, how it was back then, like, it's just, these weren't, you know, well-known things. And so eventually, when I got out of high school, finally graduated, I knew college wasn't for me. By that time, I'd started drinking, smoking weed, you know, I added alcohol and weed into the mix. And, you know, I knew college wasn't for me, man. And so, you know, I had these bad habits, you know, I had already had picked up these bad habits of alcohol and drugs and dealing with the depression and stuff. So I started selling drugs, you know, and it led me to selling drugs to support my habit. And it was really just to support my habit initially in the beginning. And then it escalated because I knew I needed to make money, right? And then it went from just, you know, an ounce of weed here and there to several hundred pounds of weed. And then it turned into kilos of cocaine and a lot of drugs, basically trafficking drugs all across the Midwest. And because one of my friends that I grew up with, he was Hispanic, and his family had ties to one of the cartels. Yeah. So drugs was really accessible, and, you know, money, and, you know, kind of, you know, the money was flowing and the drugs was flowing. And next thing I know, this bad habit that I, you know, accumulated in my life led to a decade of this lifestyle of doing nothing but feeding fleshly desires, right?
Yeah.
Money, you know, drugs, you know, whatever, however I could pleasure myself and numb the pain of feeling like I wasn't able to do what society labels or deems as successful, meaning like, you know, you get a degree, you land like these executive positions in life or whatever, and family, friends, like I just never fit into that mold, right? And so, you know, I was living a, you know, a life of crime, right? And running from the law. And eventually it caught up with me around 30 years old. I caught a drug trafficking case and I was supposed to do a 7-year mandatory sentence at the time. And I just got married. We weren't married but a few months. And, you know, they took my car and everything. And, you know, my new wife at the time, my ex-wife now, you know, we'd lived in a garage apartment in the back of somebody's yard for $500, you know, like they took everything from me. Yeah. And my best friend at the time, we were in business together. He didn't want to see me go to prison. And of course they wanted me to, you know, roll on my best friend at the time, which was one of the main sources. I wasn't willing to do it. It was just like family, right? So he basically went undercover and kept me out of prison. You know, not very many people would do that for somebody. Through the whole, this whole time of losing everything and a failing business on top of it, I had a heart attack. So that was at 30. Oh. So then now I'm in a, you know, about to go to prison, had a heart attack in the hospital and with my new wife. You know, wow. What I mean? So made it through all that, end up getting like, you know, 5 years house arrest or, yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was. 5 years house arrest, 7 years probation, early term, all that. And of course, I told myself I'd never sell drugs again, which I didn't. I stuck to my word on that. But what I didn't stick to my word on was doing drugs or drinking.
Right. So, still partying, yeah.
Still partying, not through all that chaos. I gave it a break. But as soon as I got through the clear, I started adding these things back into my life, right?
So many people.
Part of my life for, at that point, 15 years, you know, right?
So many people do the same exact thing, man. I did. You know, I did the same thing. Oh, man, I'm going to be good. Please get me out of this. You know, please just get me out of this. And then as soon as that was over, here we went. I was right back at it again.
Yeah, because for me, and again, I'm just speaking for myself that I didn't know that's what I did every. And, you know, I think any addict or any person, they get used to numbing the pain. That's what you go to, right? Yeah. You're having a bad day. You don't have any coping mechanisms, healthy ways to cope with stress in the world, whether you lose your job or you're depressed or financially hardship or whatever the case may be. You know, you go to that drink or you go to that drug or, you know, and for me by this time, you know, my cocktail was always vodka and cocaine. It was the combo for me. It wasn't one or the other. It was both every time. Yeah. And, yeah. And, so, you know, that led to me still leading into that party lifestyle at the same time being married. And, you know, fast forward, you know, 15 years later after marriage, it eventually that, you know, those fleshly desires led me through a divorce. Right. And, you know, lost the best relationship that I'd ever had in my life, the most important person.
Yeah.
So that was tough, man. And because I couldn't figure out how to fix myself, you know, and, every time I was, you know, dealing with depression or whatever the case may be of poor self-judgment or, you know, whatever it is, you know, running that drink and that drug, every time I would do that, then it would lead to other bad decisions, right?
Yeah.
You know, not acting like I was married or not respectful to her. And, yeah, so led to divorce, then bankruptcy, another business. And fast forward 25 years, I wake up in an apartment alone. I hadn't lived in by myself in over 25 years, right? So now I'm, you know, alone, dealing with my consequences and my bad decisions. And there'd always been a calling on my life from God. At an early young age, I'd been running from God my whole life, because you don't want nothing to do with God when you're living that lifestyle.
No, sir.
Right? You hear, yeah, but you don't feel worthy, right? And, you know, I wake up alone, basically lost everything for the second time in my life in my mid-40s. And I went through isolation, man, for about 18 months. And I didn't watch television or anything, just prayed and meditated. And I just hear it clear as day one day in my spirit. He said, you know, when are you going to become the man that I created you to be? And it just, man, it just pierced right through my heart, man. And he goes, you're Trinity, not Trent. My whole childhood, my whole life, I've been going by Trent, which was a nickname.
Right.
My real name's Trinity. I didn't want any part to do anything to do with that name. We all know what it means. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I didn't want anything to do with that name. I'd always went by Trent. And I just remember I could hear it in my spirit. He's like, when are you going to become Trinity and not Trent? So he just basically took me down this like revelation of my life. I'm like, you know, how am I going to, you know, be able to overcome these addictions that's been part of my life? You know, the cocaine, the strip clubs, the alcohol, the pornography, you know, the chasing money, you know, it's just all these fleshly desires that we think that we have to have, right? Or to feed the flesh, right? To be successful in life. And he just took me all the way back to my childhood. And I didn't realize that I was looking at pornography at 5 years old until I had that revelation. He literally made me relive my whole life.
Wow.
And I was having dreams and revelation. And it was just, man, it was crazy. I would wake up like through this period of just remembering these memories. And he's like, this is why you do this. This is when this happened. This is the root of this. This is when this was introduced to your life. This is when that was introduced to your life. This is what led to this. This is what led to that. And took me all the way back, just clear as day, man. And then he's like, you know, he showed me how I'm going to overcome. He showed me to overcome one thing, and then it was easier to overcome the next thing. And then he would say, I want you to remove this out of your life. And then I removed that out of my life. And then the next thing became easier. And he just took me down this path, man, of just removing this vice after vice after vice after bad habit, a bad habit. And the next thing I knew, man, I woke up 18 months later and I'd been completely sober and all these things were gone out of my life. And I didn't even know how I did it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
My story with God is a little bit different. Like, it was, I wasn't raised in church, didn't talk about God, any of those things, but I always felt God and I always just felt there was something. So mine was a little bit different walk, but I like that. How he told you you're Trinity. You're not Trent. That's pretty powerful right there, man.
Man, I'll never forget when it happened. I heard it clear as day in my spirit. He's like, you know, when are you going to become Trinity and not Trent, the man that I created you to be?
Yeah.
And I was just like,
let me ask you a question. Was your family, being Native American, were they very spiritual people? Your family?
So no? My grandmother, I grew up, you know, my grandparents pretty much, you know, in my mind, raised me when I was a young kid, and I spent a lot of time with my grandparents when my mom and dad got divorced. And my grandma was Jesus and Christ was the number one thing in her life. And I remember her, you know, my grandpa was a little different. He didn't go to church with her. Nobody in the family really supported my grandma. And I remember her taking me to church when I was little, and man, I just didn't want to go, right? Yeah. Because I loved her so much, I went.
Yeah.
And I remember being in church the first time the Spirit of God fell on me. I was probably in like first, second, third grade. And I was at church with my grandma, and I remember grandma, she looked over at me and she said, "Do you want Jesus in your heart, son?" And I remember the pastor up there was talking, and I remember the power of God fell on me. I didn't know what was happening. I was just scared to death, you know. At that age, you just don't know what's going on.
No.
You know, and yeah. I associated church with Sunday or with school because my grandma would make me go to Sunday school, and I was already fucking. You know what I mean? Yeah. I wanted nothing to do with another school. You know what I mean? I could pass any test, right? Being dyslexic. So it was all school to me. And that was the first time. And then the second time was like around seventh or eighth grade. And I remember going, my best friends, I was a big skateboarder when I was a kid. And I remember, you know, the two of my best friends at the time, if you spent the night at their house on a Saturday, their parents made you, you had to go to church with them on Sunday. Right. Yeah. But it didn't matter to me because we all used got to hang out and skateboard. We'd take our skateboards to church. So after church, we'd skate in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And we were all there one like summer service. And there was, I'm talking thousands of people in this church. Right. And, you know, we're at the very back altar cutting up, you know, seventh, eighth grade. And I remember the same thing, man. I look up and the pastor says, out of all these people, I don't even know this guy. Far in the back, I don't even know how you can make eye contact. And he said, he points and he says, "Son, do you have Jesus in your heart?" And I'm looking down like this. I'm like, man, there's no way this guy's talking to me. You know, I don't want him to talk to me. I don't want to make eye contact. And the Holy Spirit fell on me again, man. And I remember raising my head up. And we made direct eye contact, and he said, "Yes, you." And he pointed directly to me.
Wow.
And I remember the next thing that happened to me, man, the power of God fell on me, and I looked over to my friends and looked to the right and the left. I couldn't see anybody. It was like the whole place just, you know, paused in time.
Wow.
And I remember, like, getting up and walking down there, not even knowing I was doing it. And I woke up like about an hour later and church service was over. And I remember like his parents and everybody coming up to me and said, are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, I don't even know what happened.
Wow.
So that was the second time. So but again, yeah, you know, you know my backstory, like,
yeah,
So I was running from God my whole life. And then when I finally basically lost everything for the second time in my life, I'm like, man, I can't do life alone anymore.
Right.
Like, I tried and tried and tried my way. And I've lost everything twice. I just can't do this. And then that was when I basically surrendered, and I just remember it, you know, he's like, you know, that I realized at that point that it's not about you. And we're put here on earth to complete an assignment. Probably, obviously, more than one. And as soon as we can elevate to that frequency, to that level, that's when we're going to be truly fulfilled. And if we don't do that, and we don't understand that it's about connecting to other people and helping them in a way that you struggled, whatever that case may be, whether it's overcoming addiction or becoming successful or doing this, it's not about you, right? And life is a sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life. Everything, every animal is a sacrifice on this earth. We're sacrifices. We're not supposed to live a self-driven life. We're supposed to be living a cause-driven life.
Right.
And as soon as we can change that mindset and stop feeding the flesh all the time and really live like from, you know, a sacrificial state. And, you know, that's why I'm really big on fasting. You know, like I try to stay in that sacrificial state. I'll allow my eating habits, you know, to not be frequent, you know, and, you know, I'll go, you know, 23 hours without eating all the time. And then I'll, you know, I'll have an hour or two window. And, you know, so I try to stay in that sacrificial state now. It brings you closer to God. You're a lot more sensible to things around you. You become self-aware. And, you know, you're not walking in the flesh all the time, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, I just feel like now, you know, my purpose is to, you know, help other people overcome their addictions, share my testimony, help people change the way they live, the different mindset, live from a sacrificial state, and but understand that it's not about you, and you have to redirect to a cause or a purpose-driven life. And but the most important message, man, through all of this whole journey is understanding what Christ did for us, because we're a spirit living a temporary experience in a fleshly body. We came into this world as a spirit. We're leaving as a spirit. If we don't acknowledge what Christ has done for us and laid down his life, and God came through Christ and laid down his life for humanity, if we can't acknowledge that, then we won't have eternal salvation. And, you know, it's hard to digest. It's a lot for a lot of people. I see online a lot of people talking about God and higher power and all this. And it's like, man, let me put it to you this way. Is it as uncomfortable as for you to talk about Jesus or this? Let me put it in a perspective that you can understand it. If you were had to take one of your kids, you were the creator of humanity, and you had to take one of your children, and all the creation here on earth turned from you, started living, you know, a self-centered, fleshly, desired life, full of sin, not honoring any of the laws that you put in place, not to keep them from not living a fulfilled life, but because you love them and you don't want them to screw their life up like I've done, right? But you put these laws in place and everybody breaks them. They just go off. They're going to create their own way to live, believe their own ways, and not even acknowledge the fact that you sacrificed your son for all humanity. If you've done that, if you gave one of your children up for humanity, how would you feel if the rest of humanity that you created didn't even believe or honor the fact that you sacrificed one of your kids?
Oh, man, I know. I know exactly how I would feel. And I talk about that a lot, actually. All the things that we do, you know, creating things he didn't create, or different things like that, too. You're right. Especially, you know, in this country, man, we are. It's sad what we do. I've done it. I've lived that life. I've lived as far away from God as you can be. And I would get close to God, but the moment I'd start getting high again, I'd quit praying, quit doing everything, because I was ashamed. And you felt that shame. No matter who you are, you would feel it. And yeah. People try so hard to disprove God. And I don't understand. You know what I mean? If people would just use a common sense approach to think about that for a minute, why are you trying so hard to disprove God? Because you know he's real. You know, and I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. And when all we got to do is try to do better, man. But, you know, me and my wife now, we have a sober living home, and that's what it's about. We're trying to help people like me. She's not an addict, but she lived through it with me, and that's where our heart's at. That's what we feel like our purpose is.
That's awesome.
And it's not an easy thing to do. It can be difficult, because unfortunately, you're going to see more failures than you are success. And a lot of people try to push back on us because we are a spiritual program. We're all about God. And people have even tried to say we need to tone the God down a little bit. No, we don't. You know, this is ours. You can't tell us what we're going to do. You know, if you choose to come here and support that, then that's fine. If you don't, that's okay too. But we're not going to take God out of it. That's for sure.
Yeah, it just goes back to what I was just saying just all ago, right? It's like, you know, if you sacrificed your life for the rest of us and then you're not acknowledging that, it's like, man, what an insult, man, right? Man. I mean, it's like, it's the lowest blow of all, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I don't understand how people don't grasp the concept of 160,000 people roughly die every 24 hours, 6,000 people roughly an hour, 2 people every second.
Yeah.
Do you think any of those people in the last 24 hours knew they were going to die?
Nope.
If they had cancer or something like that, or they're in the deathbed, obviously, yes. But the majority of those people were just sitting here talking like me and you.
Yeah.
And in 24 hours, they're dead.
Yeah.
And their spirit leaves their fleshly body. And now you're face to face with your creator that you didn't acknowledge the whole time that you were here on earth. And you didn't acknowledge that what his son did for you and paid the price for all sin. And all you had to do is acknowledge that. And you had could have our eternal salvation. It's like, yeah. You know, it's, man, it's like, wake up, man.
It is. People chase everything but God, is what I say. You know, they chase, whether it be money, women, whatever it is, we put that before God. And when people ask me,
You know, I mean, I'm no better than anybody else.
No, me neither. I don't speak, you know, anyone knows me will tell you, that's one of the first things I say is, listen, I was bad, man. I was the worst of the worst. I lived a terrible life. No answers or buts about it. I was a thief. I lied. I done all these things, man. I couldn't just ask yourself how many drugs I put in my body, you know? But all of that led me to where I am today, you know?
I don't know about you, Dane, but for me, it took you losing and it took the pain for you to change, right?
Without a doubt. I lost everything. The only thing I didn't lose was my wife, but trust me, she should have left and she was hanging on by a very thin piece of string. You know what I mean? But she was a big part of my recovery because she was the one that finally got me to believe in myself, you know? That's the only thing I didn't lose, but everything else in my life, but I lost her respect for a long time. That's for sure. I lost all those years of my life. You know, I was in prison for a long, long time, very long time. And, 9 years of that time as an isolation, solitary confinement, just me and myself, basically locked in your bathroom. But that's where I really, truly started building my relationship with God.
In isolation.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah.
It goes right back to that 18 months that I was telling you, it was just me, right?
Yeah.
But not 9 years. You got me beat there, man.
It was 4 years and I had a little bit of a break, then 3 years, I had a little bit of a break, then 2 years. So it was a challenge. I saw a lot of people lose their mind, man. I saw a lot of people go through mental changes, that's for sure. And for whatever reason, I didn't. It made me antisocial when I first came home and stuff like that. But it didn't take me too long to get past all that. But that's where I found God. I started reading the Bible. And probably could have spent more time. I know I could have in it than what I did, but I did spend a lot of time there and I learned a lot. And, Yeah, I apply a lot of that to my life today, but I would get out, man, and I would do the same thing. I'd get right back on drugs, and I'd forget about all that. You know, the saying goes, you know, a lot of people find God and Jesus in jail and prison, but they leave him in there. And that's kind of the truth, you know, that's what we do. And for me, it was surrender, man. Surrender kept coming up, and now I understand what that is now. Surrender, give it all up to him.
Yeah, because, you know, we wake up in the morning and we just fall right back into this temporary world, right? And these fleshly desires. And it's so easy to get back into that daily grind and bad habits that we've had. And we forget. We forget that we're going to die. We forget that there's a spiritual realm. We forget that we're spirit, you know, in this fleshly body. And we just go right back to doing whatever we had done, whatever programs we programmed, whatever bad habits we have, whatever feels good.
Yep. Whatever feels good. All right, man. Tell us what you got going on today, man. What's your life today?
Yeah. So I've been sober now going on 2 years. God, you know, I've got this. I basically put together a whole Trinity transformation program on what I did, what I incorporated into my life to make these positive changes. So you can just completely change as a person, you know, mind, body, spirit, and how to establish, going through these things at the simultaneously, how to establish a growing relationship with our Creator and, you know, being able to walk with Christ, not as a perfect person that's never going to make mistakes again, but walking with Him so you don't make as many mistakes again.
Right.
And being at peace that, you know, if you were to die tomorrow, you have eternal salvation. You know, it's a, man, it's you're missing out. Right. And, so that's what I'm doing now, man. I've put away the, you know, the drink, the drugs, the lust, the porn, all that stuff. And I'm sober and follower of Christ, and I'm helping other people go through this transformation, you know, and the Trinity transformation, right? And helping other people change their life, man. No matter what upbringing they came from, whatever addiction or whatever, whatever they're struggling with, to where they don't feel like they're worthy, or what's holding them back from limited beliefs.
And that's what it is, man. We don't feel like we're holy. I don't know about you, but I was always told I would never do anything. I'd never be nothing. I had a horrible childhood, man. Let's just say that, you know, my mom had her own demons. I saw things that a child should not see. And to me, it was normal, you know. Looking back on it now, I mean, I definitely know it wasn't normal, but a lot of things that, you know, we all have different backgrounds, man. And we all can come out of it no matter what it is. That's the story. That's my story for people. But it's only with God. There's no other way. I don't care what program you're going to work, what diet you do, whatever you do. If you don't put God first, it may work temporarily, but it's not going to sustain, man. It's just not. I tried everything. I tried everything you could besides God. And tried to get high just a little bit, you know, maybe I could just smoke a joint, you know, and I did it all. And I remember, I tell this story a lot, but I remember I'd gotten out of prison and I'd been sober and I had that itch to get high. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, I think I'm gonna smoke a joint. And man, if she was a cartoon character, you just saw the fire shoot out of her head, you know, and she was just like, are you kidding me? Cause she knew what was coming, man, you know, and there we go, you know, my way of thinking. And, so yeah, man, you know, at the end of the day, if we were truly put God first, man, it's amazing what can happen and what we can be in life.
Amen. Yeah. I can so totally relate to what you just said, because I was still trying to hold on, man, any way I could, you know. Yeah. Weed was the last thing for me, because I'm like, you know, this is, especially now, you can justify, oh, you know, it's legal, man, it's okay, you know, it's medicine. Man, trust me, man, I'm just like you, man. I'd break it down any which way I could to make myself feel like it was still okay. Yeah. And for me, man, it's not like, oh, well, I'll just smoke on Friday or Saturday or this occasion or that. Man, that's just a bunch of crap for me, man. Nate, if I open that door, man, I'm smoking every day.
Me too. And lazy and ain't getting nothing done.
Right back to the drinking, right? Yeah. And then and then now drinking and drugging. There's one speed for me, man.
Same way, bro. I could smoke a joint tomorrow, I'd be shooting heroin.
I you know what, probably the only reason I didn't go down that road because it wasn't really around, but like I said, I told you the vodka and cocaine was the combo for me, man. I mean, it was weekly, you know.
Cocaine really wasn't my thing. Speed wasn't my— I started messing with methamphetamines, and my god, that was a demon on its own. It that is a very nasty drug right there, man. Not that any of them aren't, but that one.
I lost a lot of friends to that.
Yeah, and mental, man. That one.
I tried that early on, and I knew that was,
Yeah, it was bad. I would,
the hole.
Man, the second I would do it, I would swear it down. My wife was having sex with everybody in the neighborhood and in the world. It was the weirdest thing, and I would believe that shit, and it was just— man, it was a trip what it would do to me. And even after I got sober, it had lasting effects. Out of the blue, it caught up with me. I didn't even realize it caused some mental stuff, and I had to get a hold of that. It caused depression and some stuff went on. But all right, man, tell us how we can find your program and stuff like that, how people can get hold of you.
Yeah, you can go to trinitynixon.com, TRINITYNIXON.com. That's you can get in touch with me there, and you can read my bio and learn about the program, the Trinity Transformation, and become part of this community, man, to where we're just living a cause-driven life, not self-driven.
That's right. Something froze up there. There we go. That's right, man. That's what it's all about. And that's, when we understand that, that's when we really start to change. You know, you said it early on. It's not about us, man.
Yes, sir.
It's about what we can do for others. Our story that we had, that bad story, keep others from walking that same road. Thank you for your time, and I've enjoyed this, man. Congratulations to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on, Dane. It was a pleasure. And man, you know, like, I really appreciate what you and your wife are doing, man. That's amazing.
We're off on a journey, man. It's a journey, man. We're kind of spinning our wheels in mud a little bit right now, but we're getting there. That's the main thing. And we're going to turn it into an amazing thing. She's getting into her master's in alcohol and drug counseling.
That's awesome.
About 4 weeks from now, I think, actually, she'll have that. She's not an addict, like I said, but her heart's in it because of me. So if you met her and was talking to her, you would think she was an addict because she lived hand in hand with it, with me, and walked with it. So
hold her tight. Keep her close. That's a special woman. That's the one thing I wish I could have saved that. That's sadly to say, but that's what did it for me.
Yeah, that's I don't deserve her, that's for sure. And I did everything I could to ruin the relationship. But you know, from day one, she saw something in me, man, and she saw what was to come. And here we are. We get to live it today, man, and it's amazing times.
That's awesome.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. God bless, man.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Dan.
Look forward to hearing from you again, man.